And right now, I do believe we may have Congressman Tom Rice on the airwaves with us. Good morning, Tom Rice. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. Honored to be here.
Well, that's great. Are you down there in the Myrtle Beach area?
I am. I'm actually on my way to my office right now. It's a beautiful day.
And so I guess, is it warmer down there? I mean, we're at about 30 degrees up here in Greenwood.
Oh, we're a little bit warmer than that, not too awful much. It's supposed to be about almost 60 today, though.
Almost 60. Well, that's terrific. You know, I've been reading over your files, and so you got a lot of during the election. I was reading over some of the letters and everything that people wrote for you. Seems like you've always been a very determined guy.
Well, you know, I've been a part of this community for pretty much all my life. I've always been active in the community, and you know, I have developed a lot of friends over the years, and I think they were happy to see me take this step. And I just am very blessed to have all this support.
Absolutely. Now, you know, Tom, when you were growing up, I mean, I know you're an attorney, but what did you want to be when you were growing up?
You know, when I went to college, I started out in pre-med. I went quickly to the business school. Math and history have always been my strong points. Graduated in accounting. I went to law school because I was having so much fun in college, not because I necessarily wanted to be a lawyer. I went to the University of South Carolina and loved it so, and got a master's in accounting while I was in law school. And then I went to work for one of the big eight firms, Deloitte & Touche, in Charlotte for a few years and came back here in Myrtle Beach. And, you know, I wouldn't change a doggone thing about it. It's been a wonderful professional career, and I have expertise that I think the country and the state and the district can use, and I'm so happy to be able to put it to work for them.
No, well, no, I think that's great. I always find it interesting. Sometimes I talk to people in their whole life they wanted to be a policeman or they wanted to be a fireman, so that's why I'm always curious how people end up where they are. But it sounds like you enjoyed being a student, so the possibility of being a professional student, if you could have figured out more probably and had the money, might have still be a student, huh?
You know, I that is absolutely the truth. I I tell people all the time, if they pay me to be in college, I'd still be there.
Yeah, it is good life if you can get it, right?
That's exactly right.
Well, Tom, I noticed that, how has it been, well, first question, how has it been since you've been part of the 113th Congress? I mean, it has to have a lot of emotion and experiences that maybe that you've never had. How has it been?
It has been, you know, it's certainly a very charged experience. It's a wonderful privilege. It is a great honor. It is exciting. It's fast-paced. It's fun, it's frustrating, and aggravating all at the same time.
I'm sure. You know, one of the things we always tell all our congresspeople is not to drink any of the water up there. Do you take your own water?
No, I guess I trust the D.C. Utilities people. I actually drink their tap water.
Oh, my
God. I don't think I'm going to be changing at this point. You know, I've been out of college 25, 30 years. I'm too set in my ways to change at this point.
Well, I noticed you're on the budget committee with Paul Ryan, and of course, actually, you should know, I just had Congressman Clyburn on the air with us a few minutes ago. He actually was telling us that the Republican budget was, I'll quote his words, disingenuous, because in the budget you put in to repeal Obamacare, but on the flip side, you use the revenue from Obamacare, and that's a very quick synopsis of what he was saying. So what do you have to say about the feasibility? I mean, I find it hard to believe that y'all put in the repeal of Obamacare when I think that is probably one of the toughest things that the budget could face. What do you think?
I'm having a little bit of hard time understanding. I didn't get the last part of it. You said you're having a hard time believing we would repeal Obamacare and what?
That Obamacare, as part of the budget, could be repealed. I mean, I just don't see that as happening. Is that a feasible option, and is that budget have legs underneath it? I mean, it's great if you could say, sure, we're going to repeal Obamacare, but the likelihood of that, I don't see it as too great.
Well, there are a lot of things I'd like to answer in that question that you just made, but it takes too long.
I put them out there.
Thing, with respect to that specific thing, you know, I think that you see reports coming out every single day here lately where insurance people are looking at the demographics and they're looking at these required coverages under Obamacare, and they're recognizing how expensive it's going to be to provide those things, where, you know, we're going to be required. The federal, it used to be you could choose whether you wanted to have maternity coverage. You could choose whether you wanted to have eye care or dental coverage or those types of things. And you could pick the policy that you wanted based on, you know, how much you wanted to pay for it and what your needs were. Well, now we have the federal government dictating those things. You're not going to be able to choose that anymore. You're going to have to buy maternity coverage. You're going to have to buy dental coverage. You're going to have to buy eye care coverage. And those things, you know, you're going to have to buy pre-existing condition coverage. You're going to have to buy the coverage that brings your kids up till they're 26. And those, you know, things are good, and they're wonderful coverages to have, but they cost money. That's the problem. The federal government thinks that, you know, they can dictate from above, that they think that they know everything, and so they want to dictate to us what exact policy we have to have, and people don't realize that these things have consequences. They cost money. The insurance agent, you know, the insurance companies are out now saying, well, you know, you can expect that coverages for certain classes of people in certain regions of the country are going to go up from 60 to 100%. The federal government's cost estimates for its portion of Obamacare for the subsidization it's doing are, you know, the cost has already doubled. They initially said it would cost, I think, $700 or $800 billion over 10 years. That number is now quickly approaching $2 trillion, and it will go over that. It's one thing to say that it's unlikely the Senate is going to vote to repeal Obamacare. It's another thing to say that people still don't understand it. They're still writing the law, but it's coming clearer because these health care exchanges are supposed to start coming into effect later this year.
Exactly.
And when that's not ready and people really do see the true cost, Obamacare is absolutely not a settled matter, and it may well fold up on itself.
Okay. And what do you think of?
I want to tell you a couple other things, too, in response to the earlier part of your question.
Sure.
When I got to Washington, the guy I hired for my chief of staff had been on the Hill for 10 years. He'd been a chief of staff for 4 years. He said, you know, you've got a unique set of qualifications for a congressman, and I think it'd be worthwhile if we went around and introduced you to the members of the steering committee. And the members of the steering committee are the group that decide what committees people go on. And we spent our time when other people were socializing up there, we were pounding the pavement, going around and meeting 30 members of the steering committee. And the result of that was I got put on the budget committee with Paul Ryan, which I'm thrilled to be a part of that. I am excited that we've put out a budget that balances in 10 years. If you'd have told me we could do that when I came in December, I would have been very pleased with that. They put me on the Transportation Infrastructure Committee, and they put me on the Highways and Ports Subcommittees. How great is that for South Carolina?
Oh, absolutely.
And how great is that for the country? And then they put me on the Small Business Committee and made me the chairman of the Subcommittee for Economic Development, Taxation, and Access to Capital Markets. And I'm just, I think that, you know, the good Lord leads me around every day. But I'm so happy to be there. I'm so happy that people in South Carolina have trusted me to go there. And I think they've put me in a position to use my talents for the betterment of the country, the state, and my district.
Well, you know, I certainly think, and you have certainly been put on a lot of committees, and aren't you also on the, didn't I read something about the leadership table?
Well, yeah, I've had a couple of people, some of the periodicals have written that people think I'll be involved in leadership, and leadership has been very good to me. I am not a member of leadership. I'm a freshman congressman. I've been there for 2.5 months. It'll take me a couple more weeks to run the place.
Oh, okay, because I was reading that you were in the freshman class chosen to sit at the House Republican leadership table.
Well, I tell you, the people up there have been good to me. The South Carolina delegation is just, they're just superlative. They are very competent. They are, they absolutely have the best interest of the country and the people of this state in mind, and I'm so proud to be included in them.
Absolutely. Okay. All right. That sounds great. Other couple of questions for you. You think we ought to end the cell phone program that has gotten in the news a lot? I mean, it has expanded tremendously.
Yes, and I believe I co-sponsored a bill last week. I'm trying to remember which one it was, but I believe I co-sponsored a bill last week to do exactly that.
And what do you think is the possibility of that, Tom? I mean, you know, we hear about all these bills that people sponsor and everything. What's the possibility?
That's certainly up to leadership. I also believe that the budget that we passed would do away with that program. I know for a fact I co-sponsored the bill because the bill that I chose to co-sponsor would still allow for landlines, coverage of landlines, but not cell phones.
Sure, exactly. And as you've been up there in Washington, D.C., what do you feel? I mean, you know, Congress has such a low rating, and now the Senate has finally passed a budget, but, you know, we've got through September to get things together here and produce a budget or as a grand bargain. Are we going to see any of these things? Because a lot of people are just disgusted with how things work up there.
Well, you know, I am too. I think there's a good chance that we will see a grand bargain, and I think it's going to be before September. We're going to have a debt ceiling showdown again come May 15th. And, you know, people are not necessarily satisfied with where the cuts are landing in sequestration. And, you know, the president has said repeatedly in the campaign and even of late that we need tax reform, and certainly the Republicans believe we need tax reform. The question of how we get there is up there. So there are a lot of big fiscal matters that are percolating. And with this debt ceiling negotiation coming up, I think that would be a good time to deal with it. I think there's is it likely? I don't know how likely it is. I think there's a really good chance that we could have a grand bargain in early summer. Wouldn't that be great?
That would be terrific.
And, you know, here I am. I've been there for 2.5 months. It's just, I'm telling you what I feel in my gut when I hear people talking about, have I seen a schedule? Have I seen a prediction? No, I haven't. I'm just telling you what my gut says.
Well, you know, we sometimes it's a good thing to go with our gut, but, you know, the production of what happens up there in Washington doesn't seem that good. But on to another subject.
I wish I set the agenda. My only political office before this was chairman of Lee County Council. I was chairman for 2 years before I ran for this office. And at that job, I set the agenda. But I don't have that power as a freshman congressman. So if I did, I promise you it would be on it.
Two questions. One, you are in favor of term limits. What type of term limits are you in favor for? As a freshman congressman here, what are you in favor for term limits?
Well, if I could write the rules, if I had a magic wand, I would say 2 terms in the Senate, and I would say 2 4-year terms in the House.
Okay.
I actually started drafting a bill that would do that. It's going to take a constitutional amendment.
Sure.
But somebody else had put one out that would allow for 4 2-year terms, and so I co-sponsored that one rather than just writing a new one. I want to give it the best chance of passing, so I went with the one that had the most co-sponsors.
Sure. And my last question for you, being from Myrtle Beach down there on the coast, I need to ask you about the TV show, I think it's on Lifetime, Myrtle Manor. Have you heard anything about that show?
Oh, it's autobiographical.
It's autobiographical? That's great, Tom, because I've seen it a couple of times, and I know when they did the show in West Virginia with the wild kids and everything, West Virginia was up in arms, and then I saw this on Myrtle Beach, and I thought, oh, my God, if people see this, this is what they're going to think of Myrtle Beach.
Yeah, those are my cousins. they're probably your cousins, too. We're all related in South Carolina.
Somehow we are all related. You are exactly right.
No, I'm just kidding. I have not seen the show. I don't know the people, but I've heard a lot of chuckles and a lot of upset people. So it must be cutting edge, but I haven't seen it, so I can't really comment.
Well, I just wondered how the people of Myrtle Beach felt about this, because I mean your whole Myrtle Beach survives on tourism, and it's either going to do a wow for it, or people are going to go, no way do I want to go down there to Myrtle Beach.
I don't think it's going to make that much difference. You know, we Myrtle Beach, Horry County, the Grand Strand, Georgetown and Horry County, is a huge national tourist destination. I mean, we compete with Orlando and Virginia Beach and Las Vegas. 14 million people come in here every year. It is, and it's growing. We had record tourism last year, and on top of record tourism the year before that, and our numbers are up for this year. Myrtle Manor is a small blip on the radar screen. I certainly want everything to show the Grand Strand in a good light, but in the scheme of things, it's just a blip on the radar screen.
Blip on the radar screen. Well, Congressman Tom Rice, I certainly appreciate you coming on and enlightening our listeners up here. People always ask, why do I want to talk to congressmen from around our state? Because I think it's important to know how our congressmen are thinking and where they're going. I certainly hope you'll come back on the show when we can call you again.
Thank you very much, ma'am. It's been a pleasure, and call me anytime.
All right, sounds good. You have a great day, and happy Easter to you.
You too.
All righty. Bye-bye.